Oh, so if one of us is tired, we both don't have to be tired because we have two separate brains. Yes, one of us can be awake and one of us can be asleep because, again, different brains. We are two
Two separate
different
people.
people. We share a reproductive system and we both felt our fucking pain when we had endometriosis. So you do the math of your weird, inappropriate questions about sex. Like I said before, we share a bloodstream, so if we drink or hypothetically get high, we'll both feel it. No, my boyfriend isn't dating both of us.
I don't want anyone.
Oh, if I close my eyes, I cannot see through her eyes. The amount of times that we've gotten that question.
Common sense is not that common.
True.
Listen, living, listening to Synchronon. Sick and Ron. Yes, you listen to Sick and Wrong.
The Sick and Wrong, the world source for antisocial commentary.
God, what a bunch of scumbags.
Good evening, and welcome to Sick and Wrong, the world source for antisocial commentary. I'm your host, E. Simon.
Hi, I'm Kate Rambo. Hiya.
Kate Rambo.
Yeah?
What are your thoughts on twins?
Twins, there's always an evil one, and there's always a good one.
Do they freak you out?
Like, I'm not so medieval that seeing two people who are identical replicas of each other makes me, like, grab a pitchfork. But there's always an evil twin, there's always a good twin.
Do you have any friends that have been twins? Like, do you know any twins?
Yeah, one of my besties. She was a non-identical twin, though, and she had a brother.
Oh, she's fraternal. So that's the one thing. Like, fraternal twins, I don't find as freakish.
They're not evil.
As freakish as identical twins.
They're also not the good evil. But when you're an identical twin, you're a little bit weird. They're weird because, you know, they have their own language and they spend all their time together. Just identical DNA, weird.
Well, see, that's the thing. I've always thought if I had an identical twin, I would try to be as different as possible. Like, I would live my own life. I don't want to be an individual. I don't want to connect as, like, we're
See,
some kind of duo.
You think that, but I think because you're so, like, psychically linked, it's impossible to, like, it's like, who were those twins, those British twins who were real freaks of nature? They were real freaks. And did they end up killing somebody? They were two, like, black girls, Welsh, I think. I can't remember their names right now. The Gibbons sisters.
I do
she
not
killed,
recall
the
this
other
story.
One basically died. She killed the other one so that she could live.
Whoa. She's like a parasitic twin.
Well, no, they were separate twins, but they were just so, like, freakishly, like, linked, psychically linked to that. It was like a psychic vampire situation.
Did they detest each other?
No, they were super, super, super close.
So why'd she kill her?
Because they couldn't live a fully functional life while the other twin was alive.
That makes no sense. If they're that close to each other and that connected, why couldn't they just, like, live together?
It's like the Jeremy Irons film Dead Ringers. It's like you just can't exist within the sphere of two of you because you're so entwined with each other that one of you must die.
I don't know. I don't get it.
It's a great movie, though.
If you're, it's a great movie. I can understand if you hate your twin, you detest your twin, and you're jealous or envious, and that's why you don't like each other, and then you have a grudge, or maybe like you're the unattractive twin, and the other one's the very attractive twin. I can understand that. But yeah, if I had an identical twin and we connected on some level, I don't see a problem with, like, existing.
No, ages ago in the 60s, there was Tim and Todd Nicholson as well. They were two twins, and it was still undetermined if he killed his twin out of, like, anger or jealousy, or if it was just all an accident. So that's a famous murder of twins, where they kill each other.
I just find twins a bit freakish and a bit unsettling. Like, I remember in college, these two twins, good-looking guys, actually. They kind of look like a young Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they both, like, were in a fraternity. They both shared a closet, shared clothing, and shared girlfriends.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what they do.
It's creepy.
I think it's kind of a bit rapey as well. Because if you're expecting, I don't say it's Tim and Todd, and you're dating Todd, and then Tim comes in and fucks you because Todd's away. That's rape.
That is rape.
It's rape.
Well, yeah. they didn't, like, if they had a long-term girlfriend, when I knew them, it was like freshman year. They were just, like, rushing for some fraternity. And those dudes got laid a lot, way more than I did. But they would, like, when they met a girl, they would usually trade off just so both of them could talk about it.
Yeah, that's kind of gross.
Yeah, it's creepy.
So you're not only a twin, but you're also Eskimo bros with your twin.
Yeah, and they liked it. They preferred that. And they'd been doing it in high school.
You know what? Cool with twins, like, they are a little bit weird. What's weirder is when you start getting into the triplets or the quadruplets or when there's five of them knocking around.
Well, our landlords are triplets. They're like quadruplets, right?
No, they're triplets.
But they're fraternal.
Yeah, although him and his brother are freakishly
identical
similar.
Looking. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember we met them separately on two occasions, and I was like, is this the same guy? He seems a little bit different, but he looks identical.
Yeah, well, I said to him, I was like, God, you can tell you two are brothers. And he was like, yeah, well, we're twins. And then about 10 minutes later, he was like, actually, we're triplets. So where did the lies end of you people?
Well, I think it gets freakish when they're conjoined twins.
Obviously, it's the freakiest of all the twins.
I mean, I do find all twins to be kind of freaky, but conjoined twins, I mean, at that point, you're monstrous.
They are monstrous as well because apart from like maybe Daisy and Violet Hilton, all of them are like, I've never seen a set of conjoined twins where I've been like, both of you are hot and I would shag both of you. It's always like one is really pretty and then the other one's like a parasitic mass of just tumorous cells that you're like, oh God. And now they're like, I will look after them forever. It's
well,
like, ugh.
You can speak for yourself. Abby and Brittany, come on, man. Double the fun.
Don't quote Bill and Ted songs at me. Thank you.
So if you had a conjoined twin, like let's say you were separated by the head, like you're separated by the head, would you want to be surgically separated? Well, you're conjoined by the head. Would you want to be surgically separated if there's a 60% chance you're going to die?
Fuck aye. Do you know what? And if that doesn't work, just send me into the chamber and drop some Zyklon B down there because I don't want to live like that.
You wouldn't want to live to be that close with your sister.
No.
Well, you know, there is, you know, quite a, like, we're going to discuss conjoined twins this week, mainly due to the internet's favorite conjoined twins, Abby and Brittany Henzel, who have two heads, but they're joined to one torso. There's recent news with them that Abby just married 2 years ago, United States Army veteran Josh Bowling. And I guess she just announced this revelation a couple weeks ago, and the internet obviously is freaking out about it.
There were many questions on the Discord.
Many questions, I think, throughout the internet about this.
I think we're all asking.
To the point where I think they actually responded to most of these questions.
Although but you couldn't find that, could you?
You know, I couldn't find the site, so I'm going to talk about it a little bit later. I think I found this. I don't know if it's a meme, but it was like a screenshot going around from their from one of their personal social accounts discussing what everyone wants to know about this relationship. But yeah, the thing is though, you know, we're going to discuss several sets of conjoined twins, but there's so many sets of conjoined twins that died because they wanted to be surgically separated.
Good. I would too, wouldn't you?
Well, it's a very dangerous operation, especially 40 years ago. I mean, now there's been more success, but even now, there's like an alarming rate that you're going to die.
Do you think if you had been a conjoined twin, do you think you would be the pretty one, or do you think you would be the like the primordial mass of cells?
I would
just
be
attached?
Belial.
You'd be on the back.
I would be Belial from Basket Case.
Making noises.
Like, yeah, this like monstrous creature that's like attached to my brother.
Make me a smoothie.
So Abby and Brittany Henzel. You know, they're 34 years old. They're very well known in America because they're on the Oprah Winfrey Show. The Oprah Winfrey Show is children in 96. And then they even had their own reality show on TLC.
Yes, which is, oh God.
Abby and Brittany.
What a freak show that was.
They followed their lives as they graduated from Minnesota's Bethel College and went on to travel Europe. Could you imagine being their roommate?
There's no way I could be like in their year at school and not be just constantly staring at them. All the fucking time. It would put me off. And when I got low exam results, I'd be like, you put Brittany and Abby next to me in the exam room and I couldn't help it.
I wonder if they lived in a co-ed dorm. Because if they did, I guarantee there would have been some money put up for one of us to shag that.
Yeah, there would have been horrible things going on like that. For sure.
I almost would have for the story.
Oh my God. Which one would you have shagged though?
Both.
Oh, what? So you'd have put your dick in one and then taken it out and put it in the other one and gone, whoops. Actually, well, no, because they share
they
a vagina.
They share a vagina.
So you are shagging.
I'm just talking about I would have got like head from both.
Oh, right. Would you put your dick in between their two heads and have them both suck on it like a lollipop? Or would you stick it in one mouth and then stick it in the other and then stick it in one mouth and stick it in the other.
I might try to neck fuck them.
Do they have a neck?
Yeah, they don't do. Even make a head. Yeah, they do. The heads are in between the sides. They put their heads together. Who knows what might happen?
Oh, my God.
So, Abby said, people have been curious about us since we were born.
Duh.
For obvious reasons. But our parents never let us use that as an excuse. We were raised to believe we could do anything we wanted to do. So technically, they are diencephalous conjoined twins, which is a rare form of partial twinning where two heads both share one torso. Like, I don't even know any other conjoined twins like that are still living.
Yeah, I tried looking as well. They're definitely unique.
So they share all organs below the waist. They also share bloodstream. Brittany controls the left arm and leg, while Abby controls the right.
Oh my God.
They're able to eat and write separately or simultaneously. They're able to ride a bike, drive a car, which is kind of concerning, and do most activities in cooperation. Like, I saw a video of them playing tennis with like two rackets, which I thought that was a bit unfair.
What? Would you hate to be against them? You'd be like, this is a doubles match, and I'm a single. Come on.
So when they were born, doctors offered to separate the twins. However, the parents, Patty and Mike, decided against it because they were told the daughters had little chance of surviving the surgery.
I know you don't really play computer games, but I loved Fallout 4. It was one that, before I discovered Red Dead Redemption 2, it was Fallout 4. I played that for like over a year and a half. Conjoined twins are just like something you would find in the wasteland.
Just like part of the nuclear fallout.
Yeah, just like, and they'd be coming up to you. They'd either be giving you a side quest, which you could choose to accept, or you'd just be like, I'm just going to kill you, you freak.
Well, that's the thing. They are kind of like very Chernobyl, you know?
Totally.
Some kind of grotesquery.
Human.
Just wandering the wasteland. So Abby and Brittany actually were born with a partly formed third arm.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, but they had that removed when they were 12.
Which side?
I think it was in the middle.
Oh, my God. How can this get worse?
It's kind of like Chris Elliott's. Remember in, what was that scary movie?
Little hand.
Yeah, but think of the grip on that.
Oh, what, the little hand? Like a little T-Rex claw.
I'm just saying, like, you know, there comes a point when, like, regular sex becomes a bit pedestrian, so why not try something new?
Try the little hands.
The little hands. They also had surgery to correct spine curvature and help their breathing. So there's pictures going around, which I'm sure you've seen, of this 2021 wedding ceremony that features the twins in a lace-trimmed, sleeveless wedding dress and the groom in a gray suit. I'm going to post that picture to the site. But that sparked a lot of questions.
We're all thinking the same things as well. It's just some of us are braver to say them. Like, tell us about the shags. I want to know about the vagina.
Well, the pair said they've been attacked online by haters. And so they released a couple. A lot of people, because people were saying, I mean, it's the internet. Think of the trolls.
I know, but like, there's no hate in just being generally like, can you please just tell us about the sex life? I think we're all interested. And they also have put themselves in the public eye themselves. So they have to answer our questions.
Well, I mean, the thing is people kind of view this creature as sexless. Not to mention, you've known them since childhood. It's kind of like the Olsen twins.
Yeah, but
you just don't really think the Olsen twins sexual creatures
are freakier than Abby and Brittany by a million times.
I don't think so. I mean, I do find them both freakish, but they're not conjoined at the head. They don't share one vagina.
I just want to know, when your husband is fucking you and he makes you come, the other twin, because they share a body and a bloodstream, she's coming too. So, like, what does she do? Does she just, like, ignore the feelings? And then technically, because he's making both of them come at the same time, this is now a threesome. And so he's also cheating on his wife with the other woman. So it's also an emotional affair. This guy has a fetish. There's no denying. No, like, I'm not going to use the word normal because he can, like, I'm not going to kink shame anyone. But he has a fetish for this.
He definitely has unique sexual proclivities. I'll give him that. Super unique. We're going to get to that in a minute. But I just wanted to mention, do you know they're fifth grade teachers?
Oh, are they?
Yeah, kids are so cruel. Could you imagine being in their class?
But kids would probably ask more innocent questions and get over it really fast. But I bet they have nightmares. There will be kids having nightmares.
There are definitely kids traumatized over this. There are kids that are going to have a podcast in like 20 years and talk about this.
And talk about their vagina. Yeah. And what happens with it.
It's frightening. But yeah, I was looking on their website to see, or on their TikTok page. Yeah, their OnlyFans. You know how much money they would make if they had an OnlyFans?
Please do an OnlyFans.
You know, they would be making millions. They wouldn't have to be fifth grade teachers, put it that way.
Yeah.
But I was looking on their TikTok, and if you go to Abby and Brittany Hensel, it's just like, they don't actually speak in their videos. There's just a bunch of pictures of them with some song. And so, you know, they had a video of one of their wedding pictures and it said, "This is for all you haters out there," and like a Taylor Swift song.
Which Taylor Swift song?
I don't know. They all sound the same. but you know, there's an interesting twist though. A paternity case was filed this past week by the husband's ex-wife, Annika Bolling. She filed it against Josh, the husband, and another respondent, Gavin Vatstahl, in a Minnesota court. So apparently, Josh and his ex-wife, married in 2010. They had one daughter together, 8-year-old girl named Isabella, who they share a joint custody. But the couple split in April 2019, and then Annika had another daughter with this other man, born in late 2020, who's now 3. So it appears possible that the child whose paternity is being contested is probably the 3-year-old.
Yeah.
But I don't think Josh is the parent of that because they broke up in 2019.
But they could have shagged, and that's why she's doing the paternity.
Well, there's a paternity test going on right now between the two.
Oh, this is so Jerry Springer. I love it. This would be amazing on Jerry Springer, the conjoined twins whose husband is up for like being a deadbeat dad.
Well,
love
I think it. The wife, the ex-wife, wants some money. Especially
I would
now.
Too, from the freak show.
So in their divorce papers in 2022, the younger daughter is referred to as Isabella's half-sister. And so it's interesting that the 8-year-old has a very close relationship with their father and the conjoined twins.
Yeah.
So the daughter, Isabella, was a guest at the wedding. She appears in photos with both sides of the family. And there's pictures of her with Abby, who's her stepmother, and Brittany laughing and, you know, with the girl and hugging her.
You know when you're a kid and there's always that one really old relative, like it's like what they do on Bill and Ted 2 when your mum and dad are like, "Go and kiss her goodbye. Go and kiss your great aunt Irene," and she's like, "No." She's so decrepit, and you're like, I don't want it. This is totally what it would be like with the conjoined twins. I mean, like, start crying. I'm like, I don't want to.
I would have been, if I was a teenager, I'd have been like, "We're gonna go drive around and get high because this is going to be amazing, and then we're gonna go to the mall, and I'm gonna be the coolest kid in town."
I'd be like, "We're gonna make reels."
So Abby said, "We're going to be mums one day.
Oh God.
But we don't want to talk about how it's going to work yet." But Abby, everyone wants to know how this is going to work. And we're going to get into that along with the sex lives of other less famous but equally fascinating conjoined twins. But first, let's chat about the revolting Siamese twin of this podcast, the Sick and Wrong Patron. If you listen to the show every week and you do love, what we do, and you support us, and all we ask is for you to sign up for the Patreon or Apple Podcast. It's only $5 a month. It's not that much. And it keeps this show going. And, you know, you do get a whole second show. This week, in fact, we kind of got into some news about the weekend. We chat about the terrible Elvis-themed pop-up bar we went to last night.
Oh, it was dire. It was terrible.
Awful. And then we also get into reviewing some of the t-shirt ideas that our listeners have been sending in. You know, I was surprised that only half are Goatsy themed.
Oh, why? Did you expect them all to be Goatsy themed?
I pretty much thought they all would be Goatsy themed, but I'm not surprised that almost all of them are penis themed.
Oh, there's a butthole. There's a butthole or there's a penis.
Yeah, that's pretty much what people think of this podcast. Like, if they had to think of a symbol for this podcast, I think it would be a man stretching his asshole apart.
That's what you wanted.
Well, that's what it is. But anyway, we talk about those t-shirt designs and much, much more. $5 a month. That's it. You get access to Sick and Wrong on Patreon, and you get access to the official Sick and Wrong Discord, which is where most of these ideas originate. Also, you can go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe to Second Show now, so you don't even have to join up for Patreon. And we also have the archives available on Apple Podcasts as well. Patreon.com/sickandwrong. We appreciate the support. Let me play this quick promo, and then let's find out whether or not it's a threesome when you have sex with conjoined twins.
Do you need more Sick and Wrong in your life? Do you need one more news story to make you feel normal? Are three phone calls barely enough to feed the raging beast of desire? Well, then it's time for you to get the help you need and become a Sick and Wrong patron. Sign up at patreon.com/sickandwrong, and you'll have access to exclusive Patreon-only content such as news stories, extra phone calls, and much, much more. Become a patron today and help us make a better Sick and Wrong for tomorrow. That's patreon.com/sickandwrong.
So after the wedding announcement last week, everyone had questions. So many questions. In particular on the Sick and Wrong Discord. Kate and Driver were having an in-depth discussion about the sex lives of Abby and Brittany.
Yes. So many questions.
And so I saw this Instagram post that came out that showed the wedding pic of Abby and Brittany. And there was a caption below that said, "Because everyone is asking, we're just going to tell you." And it looked like it came from the verified account of Abby and Brittany.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I tried looking on all the different social media platforms, so I couldn't actually find this post. So I don't know if this is fake.
Fakes.
But regardless, it, you know, gives us some discussion points here. So she says, "Yes, I have sex with my husband. Yes, I go down on him. Yes, my sister Brittany is there. Yes, my sister and I orgasm as one. But when I sleep with my husband, she's usually reading a book or listening to a true crime podcast. So she just puts the pleasure out of her mind."
Yeah, I hope she's listening to Sick 'em Wrong while he's fucking her.
You know, I like how listening to a true crime podcast does block out any vaginal sensations. She's got to be listening to this show, you know? God, I've heard from many women that my voice can make a woman dry up faster than a school bus fire.
Well, I don't know what's wrong with me then.
No, you turn people on. It's just, you know, it's like the twins, the podcast twins.
No, I like your nasal Jewish complaining overtones.
Yeah, some women are into it, believe me.
Your Midwestern tone,
like northern birds.
Northern birds, yeah, because our accents aren't exactly appealing either.
So I don't know if this post is legitimate, but it does give us some room here to conjecture.
It's what we're all asking.
So how can she not receive pleasure from an orgasm? You asked that previously. If they're both coming out of one vagina, don't they both feel it? I mean, they share a vag.
Yeah. But I imagine, like, ever since a young age, they've been taught to, because they spend 24/7, like 24 hours, 7 days a week, all the time together, they will have expertly learned how to block out the other one when they need to.
How can you block out, like, pricked your finger with a needle, you're both going to feel it because you share a body.
Yeah, but maybe the coming thing is a new thing. Oh, right. This is a question I hadn't thought about until just this moment. At what age do you think they started masturbating?
Well, I was just about to bring that up. I'm sure they wanked, and I'm sure it was a group decision.
Whose hand do they use? Do they both use the same hand?
Well, I wonder if they switch off. Like, I wonder if Abby was like, "Hey, I'm going to masturbate tonight, so do you want to be a part of it? Let's get the, you know, the big black dildo. Or should I use my hand or your hand?"
Yeah, that's like a tricky thing. This is why can't they just be honest and talk about this to the world?
Well, I think people think it's inappropriate.
Also, they're fifth grade teachers and they would probably get fired. But
well,
I'm
this
so
is something
intrigued.
For the OnlyFans.
Yes, it is.
God, their OnlyFans would be worth millions.
They would be number one.
I wonder if there's a way we could kind of pitch this to them. Like, listen, we'll manage the content. We'll post everything. You just send us the videos.
Yeah.
Sick and Wrong presents. I think this would be great. I'm getting a lot of enterprising ideas here. But yeah, so I wonder if they're masturbating. They both must feel it. Do you think it was a joint decision? Or do you think one just starts doing it and the other one goes with it?
I think it has to be a shared, like, I don't think you could argue about it and be like, God, I really need to wank. And everyone's like, well, I'm just in the middle of baking a pie. I don't think the other one would be like, well, I'm just going to do it right now. I think there's some mutual respect that has to happen when you are fused to another person.
Who puts the tampon in?
That's another good question. Who does put the tampon in?
I don't know. I just wonder, it's like, yeah, I mean, is it someone's responsibility to do the tampon? Which one wipes?
That's another good question.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. So, like, could you imagine every time you take a shit, you got to take a shit with your sister at the same time?
Well, yeah, because they share a body, so you are just taking a shit. What I think is crazy is, like, they're listed as two separate people, yet they share a body. I don't think they should be two separate people paying two separate taxes.
They're one corporeal entity.
Yeah,
because I don't really get it.
They also can't be separated either. It's not like an easy operation. They're together for life.
Could you imagine the comedy?
What?
Like when you're taking a shit, it's like, it's push harder, okay? It's like, I'm already pushing.
You need to eat more fiber.
I told you you should eat that second burrito from Taco Bell. Look what happens.
You know what would be an amazing costume for them is to do the Three Stooges, because they could just make like a fake paper mache head and stick it in between their heads and then just have somebody do the slaps.
Oh, I guess you could do that.
Yeah? Yeah.
But they're young. Who thinks of the Three Stooges these days?
They're only like a couple years younger than me.
34.
And I just mentioned.
That's a few years there, Kate Rambo.
What do you mean? No. We're the same generation, mate. We're both millennials, elder millennials.
Well, 34 isn't.
Yes, it is. That's an elder millennial.
It's like middle of the millennial. You're on the older edge.
I am on the older edge of the millennials, but they're elder millennials too.
So do they both blow him? When she goes down on her husband, her sister's there. So what, does her sister just block out the cock in her sister's mouth?
God, she's just looking at anything else other than the cock.
I would be like,
mouth.
If I was a husband, I'd be like, all right, you cup the balls.
Yeah, let's save some time. You get working on it too, honey.
Let's just go team here, okay?
Yeah, double the pleasure.
Don't be so selfish.
Triple the fun. Two heads are better than one.
Can they get pregnant, though? Like she said, we want to be a mother, but can they get pregnant?
I don't know. They must be able to if they have periods. Do they have periods?
Yeah, I think they do.
If they do, because I know a lot of the conjoined twins are sterile.
Yeah, a lot of them are actually. But I do wonder if they can get pregnant. And would they, what are the chances of them giving birth to another conjoined?
Oh my God, it's like the greedy
monstrosity.
Yeah, it's like Lobster Boy. They would just keep coming out these like deformed children.
Whose face does he look at when he blows his load?
But they've got similar faces. So it doesn't really matter if he's looking at his wife or the other one.
I know, but they're right next to each other. Like, do you think she's like turned away just with her headphones on, listening to Sick and Wrong?
As much as she can be, yeah. Because she's literally in the same body.
I bet he shags them from behind so he doesn't actually have to look at their faces.
Oh, it's just the idea of shagging them from behind, though. It's like just shagging a wasteland creature as both both heads are flaying around going, like, ugh.
Do you think one of them prefers anal?
Well, one as in both, because they share one body. Yeah, so there's a good point, though.
But I wonder if one gets more pleasure from anal than from the front butt.
But there's a good point, though. So her sister being fused is already doing her a big solid by like saying, yeah, you're in love. Let's get married. I'll let you fuck him in our shared vagina. But you cannot fuck me in the ass. That's all I want. But what if the sister's like, well, fuck you, because I really want anal sex with my husband. Then is that not technically rape? Because she's like, no, you've gone against my anal wishes, and now you've sodomized me, so I'm going to sue you, and I'm going to sue your husband.
You mean if the other sister doesn't consent to it?
Yes, then it's rape.
What about ATM?
Well, as long as it's not in her mouth, it's
then
not.
It's fine. But yeah, they both could get sick from it, though. Can't they catch like hepatitis
or
something?
That's true. And like they're very sickly creatures.
She's like, I told you to stop doing ass to mouth.
Specifically,
I don't know how many
said.
Times I have to say this. Yeah, could you imagine when they get in an argument? It's not like they can run to a room and slam the door.
No, but they can just sit and slap each other with their one hand.
Just punching each other in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how that works. But yeah, it's weird for people to think of this. Like, I never even thought they were sexual beings at all, even though they're human, obviously, and can experience sexual pleasure. I never really thought about it till this wedding announcement.
I think because you just can't, men will stick their dick in anything. I've learned this over the years. Anything a man will stick his dick in. So it doesn't surprise me that they found a man who is willing to stick his dick in them. But it just makes you think, fuck, yeah, men really will stick their dick.
Well, the question is, what if Abby gets married?
Yeah, so this is another thing. So would they...
Or Brittany, the other sister.
So if Brittany gets married, and then what if she's like, I really want pounded by my husband tonight. And then Abby's like, well, I want pounded too. So would they not just be like, stick both your dicks in us at the same time? And yeah, then
that's
technically...
That's gay
because you've got two hard dicks inside of you and they're looking at each other. So then now these men are in a relationship with each other. And no, it's never going to work out.
I think what would happen here is you'd have to use like Outlook or something, like Outlook calendar, and reserve time.
But what if it comes to your day and you're not feeling particularly horny and you're like...
Well, then you lose it. It's like, you know, snooze, you lose. But you could maybe even reserve different holes. Like, what if you reserve, you know, the upstairs, like the mouth?
The upstairs hole.
Or the neck.
Oh, yeah, your neck fuck that you are very intrigued
Why
by.
Why not? I'm just, you know, I mean, those heads are really close together, so they just need to... But yeah, I do think this is weird. Like, are all four of them going to share a king-size bed?
That would still be too small a bed. But they would have to because they have no other choice.
I know. What if the other one's a lesbian?
Oh, my God. And then I bet you the guy, husband would be like, yeah, ka-ching.
The husband's like, high five.
Yeah. Already in a relationship with two women. I'm practically a fucking mama now. Bring her in.
Well, so I guess even though it is kind of mind-blowing, conjoined twins do enjoy sex. So let's chat about some other, you know, maybe
sexy,
not as famous, but fascinating conjoined twins and how they get it on. So the OG Siamese twins, who actually even they're the origin of the term Siamese twins, were Chang and Ing Bunker.
Why aren't we allowed to say Siamese anymore?
Well, it's because I don't know if it's I don't know if it's inappropriate, but like Siam was Thailand. Now it's Thailand, so you wouldn't really say Siamese anymore.
Oh, so it's not like it's offensive. It's not like the midget thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's a disparaging term. I think it's just an outdated term.
Okay, because I did the first thing. I felt racist because the first thing I typed into Google was Siamese twins, and it immediately came, and then it said conjoined, and I was like, oh yeah, that's what we call them now.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what they prefer to be called. So Chang and Ing Bunker weren't the first Siamese twins, but they were the first documented Siamese twins. This is in 1811. They were born in Siam, which is now Thailand, and they were joined at the sternum by a short, flexible band of flesh and cartilage through which their livers were connected. So if you think about it, in 1811, you definitely couldn't separate at that point. I don't think medical technology was advanced enough, but now you could easily do that.
Oh, yes. It just looks like you could take a pair of scissors and just go snip.
Just snip it off.
Yeah. Like, enjoy, lads.
So their eventual fame in America would lead the term Siamese twins to become synonymous with conjoined twins.
Yeah.
So they kind of coined the term. So they were unseparated throughout their entire lives, and that didn't stop them from marrying and having children. These guys were fucking. They had a total of 21 children between them.
Holy shit.
Setting a record for the most children born to unseparated twins.
That's mental.
Well, they both had separate cocks.
Yeah, so it is a bit different than being than just shagging like one dick on one conjoined twin.
Yeah, no, they were shagging separately, but obviously they're present during the experience.
Yeah, and they're virile as fuck too. So that's like what, one of them had 10 kids and the other had 9 or something like that.
What's an interesting twist, because everyone knows about Chang and Ing. I mean, the very famous Siamese twins, but I never knew this. Uh-huh. Their biological offspring weren't the only children under their care. They also were Confederate slaveholders and owned several child slaves.
Really?
Yeah, I never knew that.
Where did they live? Did they have like a mansion and some like cotton fields to work or something?
They lived in North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
And at the time, I mean, slavery was, you know, legal.
That's so mental.
Yeah, so they were discovered in 1824 by a Scottish businessman named Robert Hunter. He saw their money-making potential. He was like, you guys got to come to America. We got to tour the country.
Good luck.
But it took him 5 years to get out of Siam because the king of Siam at the time refused to let them leave the country. So they didn't get into America until 1829 when they were around 17. And they made a small fortune touring in America. And their early shows, I mean, they would do physical feats like somersaults and swimming. But then, you know, then they learned to speak English and they took control of their act. And then later on, they would engage audiences in more of a parlor setting where they talked and answered questions.
Oh, that's good. I like that. It became dignified.
It became dignified. And also, I mean, people have always been curious.
Yeah.
You know, about the other. And so I think people had questions on what they do, you know, or how they live their lives. And they were, you know, more than willing to discuss it with people.
I'd be like, do you wank him and he wanks you? For fun.
The stranger. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they did settle in North Carolina. They gained American citizenship. They bought their own slave plantation and owned slaves. They married two sisters, Adelaide and Sarah Yates.
Oh, well, that's weird.
That is so weird. Like,
they're not quite custard sisters, but you would have to be there with the brother while you're being fucked by the other brother. So, yeah, it's weird.
They knew each other, and they must know both husbands intimately.
Yeah.
And they lived in two separate houses, which is kind of odd. So they would spend 3 days at a time in each of their homes.
Oh, with all the fucking posse of children, yeah.
Yeah, they fathered 21 kids. Chang and Adelaide had 10, while Ing and Sarah had 11.
Mental.
Yeah, isn't that
That's
crazy?
11 years pregnant. Think about it. 11 years being fucking pregnant.
It's a lot of kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's never been documented how they conducted themselves in a sexually intimate way. But, I mean, it's interesting that when their wives had kids, they delivered only maybe 4 or 5 days apart.
Oh, so they were fucking them at the same time.
Which suggests some kind of coordination.
Oh my God, this is like Handmaid's Tale.
So I wonder if they're on like separate beds and they were both just like, you ready? High five.
No, I think they would have been in the same bed and they just would have been like, mount me, darling. And then the two sisters would have been like mounting them, but they're holding hands in the air.
That is kind of very Handmaid's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
So in his late 50s, Chang suffered a stroke. It didn't kill him, but he was severely disabled. And then that required Ing to help him with their daily tasks. And so the career was pretty much over at that point. And so on January 17th, 1874, at the age of 62, Chang died in his sleep. And upon waking up to find his brother dead, Ing realized, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Which, that's got to be like one of the most like harsh realizations, if you think about it. Because it's like your appendage, you know, your brother, your twin just died, and you share a bloodstream.
Yeah, so you're going to slowly die.
Yeah, so Ing died 2 hours later. So yeah, it is true. Like, they could have been separated with modern technology, but at that time in 1811, most doctors said that it probably would be fatal. But they never actually wanted to be separated.
Well, it made them a lot of money and got them out of shithole Siam. So.
Well, that's the thing. And a lot of these conjoined twins, especially at this time, you didn't really have much of a choice. It's not like you're working at a bank.
Yeah.
You know, it's either institution or touring in a sideshow.
Pick your riches.
Yeah, I mean, these guys were able to buy a plantation.
Yeah, they provided for all these children.
Well, today, Chang and Ing have thousands of descendants.
I was about to ask about the descendants of Chang and Ing.
This would be actually kind of an... I'm surprised no one's done this documentary, but every May, their extended family gathers together to commemorate the legacy of their famous great-great-grandfathers.
That's like the Burns Night. So every year in January, there's a Burns Night for Robbie Burns, and I'm related to him. And I've always, every year, they invite a certain number of descendants, and I've just been waiting for that call to go.
That's
to
kinda,
go and meet all my DNA, it would be like crazy.
That would be an interesting thing to go to.
To find Chang. We should try and find a Chang and Ing descendant and get them on the show.
Well, maybe that would be a really good idea, actually. We should. So the Bunker twins held the record of oldest conjoined twins ever until it was broken by Ronnie and Donnie Galyon, who lived to be 68.
Ronnie and Donnie. I love their names. Very 70s.
Ronnie and Donnie were born October 28th, 1951 in Dayton, Ohio. They weighed a combined 11 pounds, 11 ounces at birth, and were joined at the abdomen.
Oof.
So they have four arms and four legs,
okay,
but separate hearts and stomachs, but they share a lower digestive tract, they share a groin, they share a rectum, and a penis,
so they...
over which Donnie has control.
Oh, what? So Donnie is the keeper of the penis? So he could just be whacking off all he wants?
Donnie has the penis.
Oh my God.
So you might actually recognize these two. I'm going to post this picture also on the site. But there's a meme that shows the younger brother of Ronnie and Donnie giving one of them a kiss on the lips. And the caption on this meme is, these guys are Siamese twins and only one is gay and they share the same ass.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Isn't
that... And they only had one penis. It is weird, though, in that picture. It's his younger brother, if you know the context behind the picture. But it's still weird that he's giving an open-mouth kiss to his brother.
As in with tongues?
Well, I don't know about that. You just see their lip locking, lips on lips.
They are Ohioans.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a thing they do there.
They do.
The brother said that they never had sex, although he may not be willing to say, considering, you know, they are all Christians.
Right.
So they don't kiss and tell.
Isn't that like the worst, though? It's like they're so nearly independent, and you'd just be like, it's okay to be fused at the abdomen, but at least give us two dicks.
Yeah, but they joined. They were joined at the body. Like they had two separate torsos.
Oh, yeah, which is worse because now you're going to have... Well, actually, I don't know. It's probably easier to dress yourself when you have two separate torsos as opposed to a fused torso. Like Abby and Brittany, it must be hard to be dressed.
Existence was really difficult for them. They couldn't live on their own.
Well, yeah.
They had to live with the younger brother.
I think a lot of them can't live on their
own. But if you see a picture of them walking, it's like they have like four legs, but they're kind of walking but joined at the abdomen.
Oh, my God. It's like the thing you would run away from. Just,
I mean, they look like a Cronenberg monstrosity.
I was thinking
Brood.
Yeah.
So they were born healthy in Dayton, Ohio, but they stayed in the hospital for 2 years as doctors tried to figure out, like, how can we separate them? But when they said they could not guarantee that the babies would survive this operation, the parents, like, let's just keep them as they are. The good Lord made them that way. Let our Savior do it.
No, I would be like, Satan himself made them, and to cast them back into the flames would be what's right.
Well, the brothers spent their entire lives face to face.
Oh, Ronnie, Donnie. So who has control of the penis?
Donnie.
So when Donnie was whacking it, he was looking right into Ronnie's eyes.
But they weren't interested in being separated ever. They wanted to live that way. And they did until they died from congestive heart failure July 4th, 2020. Recently, at age 68, the oldest conjoined twins ever recorded.
Okay, good for them.
So they had a six-decade career in sideshow entertainment. And it's interesting because if you think about this, 2020, that's not that long ago. And they were born in the 50s. So it shows you how America still puts humans on display. I mean, they were performing in sideshows from the time they were small children until their retirement in 1991.
I honestly don't see anything wrong with it, though. I think nowadays they give them a lot more autonomy and it's like your choice. And if you can go and you can make an absolute fucking fortune from people just coming in and gawping at you, then you do that.
Why not?
Yeah, do
exactly.
It.
Well, what's interesting about it is that, you know, they weren't really doing the sideshow circuit, like kind of riding around in a wagon all over the country, but they were appearing in the sideshow's modern equivalent, daytime talk shows.
Yeah.
And reality shows that feature curiosities like a family with dwarfism, obese women, or child beauty pageant contestants. And, you know, it's a genre of reality shows that are like a sideshow, and it gives the audience the opportunity to see people with different bodies that they would never encounter in real life.
I feel that nowadays people, well, apart from like on Instagram and maybe TikTok, you don't get that opportunity with talk shows anymore because like the world is a different place and people are like much more sensitive. But like the Ricky Lakes, the Maurys, the Jerry Seinfelds.
Jerry Springers.
Yeah. We're amazing. I would just be 16 years old smoking weed, watching these freaks be paroled out and just be like, this is great.
Well, they still, but these, they're, okay, they're, they might not be on talk shows, but they're on reality shows. Look at My 600-Pound Life.
Yep.
Look at Little People, Big World.
TMZ, man.
Yeah.
It's just the freak
TLC.
Show of the modern.
Yeah.
It's just the freak show.
TMZ
of the
also
day.
Shows the highlights of people, too. I think they were the first ones to break the Abby and Brittany story. There's an interesting book that I want to pick up. This guy named Mark Hertzman wrote a book about Ronnie and Donnie. Wrote about Ronnie and Donnie in his 2005 book, American Sideshow, an encyclopedia of history's most wondrous and curiously strange performers. I want to pick this book up. It seems interesting. So he says that the twins didn't hate their time in the spotlight. For them, it was a way to earn a living.
Yeah.
And through the years of performing on the sideshow and fair circuits, you know, as well as then eventually doing talk shows, they did make a comfortable living. I mean, they purchased their own home in Dayton, Ohio after they retired.
Good for them.
They didn't actually, they also, as I was saying before, didn't really have other opportunities to make money. Like, what else could they do?
Yeah, you're very limited.
You know, I mean, they said that, you know, being in a sideshow act was better than being institutionalized or being in a home.
Totally.
But, you know, they didn't actually Like Chang and Ng would swim and do somersaults. Ronnie and Donnie didn't really do that. They just sort of sat in their trailer and people could watch them playing checkers or watching TV. They were just sort of living.
Yeah.
They weren't doing anything exciting. It's just unique to look at them.
See, I think that's a bit of a cop-out. I want to see you guys somersaulting. I want to see you tumbling. I want to see one of you shaving the other one. I want to see you be doing normal. I don't want to just watch you play a ball game. Like, come on.
I like the fact that Chang and Aang did kind of a parlor thing where you could ask questions.
I like that too, but I would like to, you know, they put the work in doing all the tumbling throughout the years. So I think you get to that spot. You don't just walk into it, run it all like.
Yeah, but this is, these guys could make, and crawl these guys could make a living just playing checkers and watching TV. It's almost like, you know, there are a lot of girls on Twitch that have like a nice rack and they just play video games and wear a low cut top. And they make a living.
Okay, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yep, nothing wrong with that. More power to them. So in 2014, on their 63rd birthday, Ronnie and Donnie fulfilled their lifelong goal of outliving Chang and Aang.
Oh, is that all they wanted to do with their lives?
And they added 5 more years. They died at the age of 68.
Well, I think Abby and Brittany will live longer.
Yeah, I wonder. They're so much younger, so they could shatter the record. But 68 years old, living like that.
Ugh, yeah, it's, ain't living long.
Living like a Cronenberg.
Like this.
So, what about Violet and Daisy Hilton? How were they conjoined?
So, we're going to talk about Violet and Daisy, but first, I want to talk about another modern female conjoined twins, and this is Lupita and Carmen Andrade. I'm probably saying that wrong.
They're the the intro clip to this episode was from them.
Okay,
doing
yeah.
Doing a Q&A on YouTube.
So they're from Mexico originally, but they're living in Connecticut, and they're 22-year-old conjoined twins. So they each have 2 arms. They only have 1 leg, though. They're connected at the torso, and they share a pelvis and a reproductive system. So they're very similar to Abby and Brittany in that respect.
Yeah, they're not. They don't. They have separate torsos and separate brains, but they are conjoined at the bottom.
Yeah, and
by
one
the stomach.
Leg.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did an interview for Today where they opened up with what it's like to be a conjoined twin, but they did kind of focus on their sex life because it's what we all want to know, right? So Lupita is asexual, but Carmen has a boyfriend.
Wow.
Right? So that's already weird. Work? She said, I met my boyfriend Daniel on a Hinge in October 2020. Isn't Hinge like what JoJo mainly uses?
I would love to read the messages that they got on Hinge because, as you said before, a dude would fuck anything. And if you're scrolling through Hinge and you see a conjoined twin pic, I'm definitely swiping right.
Well, Carmen said, I never tried to hide the fact that I'm conjoined twin, which meant I got a lot of messages from guys with fetishes. Fetishes, this is.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think the guy that married Abby has a very distinct fetish.
I knew right off the bat that Daniel was different from the others because he didn't lead with a question about my condition. Daniel and my sister get along really well. It's funny because I stay up later than Lupita, but when Daniel sleeps over, I fall asleep quickly and he stays up talking with her.
Talking to Lupita?
Uh-huh.
Well, so they're the type of twins where one's actually attractive, whereas the other one just looks like a hideous creature.
A hideous mass of cells. I'm really sorry.
Well, she does. She doesn't look fully like evolved, whereas the other one's actually kind of cute.
Hot.
She's got a piercing, like her septum's pierced, and she's not bad looking.
No, she's
whereas
cute.
The other one does kind of look like she's deformed.
Yeah, and she's just like shouldering this burden for her life.
Shouldering. She obviously, though, sees this dude's dick.
Of course.
On a regular basis.
So this couple, they're facing the sexiest conjoined twins in history. They're facing the same problems. And we're going to talk about the original, the OG Hilton sisters, and that's Violet and Daisy. And they're the first conjoined twins that were literally joined at the hip, who were born in Britain, who survived. So that's why they're famous.
So wait, they were joined just by the hip?
Kind of like from the, I'm going to talk about, it's like, there's a term for it, I'll get into
it. Did they share organs?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're also the inspiration for the twins, Iffy and Elfie, in Catherine Dunn's book, Geek Love.
Oh, Geek Love. Yeah, that's a great book if you haven't read that.
They're Aquarians. They're born February the 5th in Brighton in 1908. And because they're born out of wedlock, their mother, Kate Skinner, great name, she attributed their deformity to a punishment by God. So she sells them to her boss, Mary Hilton. And Mary Hilton, like, sees the dollar signs in her eyes, and she's like, ka-ching!
No relation to Paris, right?
Probably somewhere.
You think so?
Probably somewhere down the line. So the twins write an autobiography in 1942, and they say that Mary Hilton systematically abused them, she isolated them from the world, and she trained them in all kinds of arts of entertainment, all in, like, obviously, vaudeville. And
like she's juggling,
playing saxophone, doing stuff like Chang and I.
Knife throwing.
Yeah, like, basically that, to earn a living. And they're going to be in circus and freak shows from, like, by the age of three, Violet and Daisy are traveling the world. They're doing piano, violin recitals. And because they look like dolls, Mary dresses them like dolls, their fame kind of grows. And Mary Hilton's like so fucking rich. But she's abusing these kids.
Cute as a button.
So the sisters were born Paijo Paige. So they're joined at the posterior. They share no internal organs. Sorry, I thought they did. And this is all that was truly uniting them was like Chang'an. It's bone, muscle, and skin all along their backs.
See, in modern technology, like modern days, they could have been separated. Same with Chang'an.
At the time, the operation to separate them was possible, but it was still really risky. And the operation could have resulted in the demise of one or both of them. And Mary Hilton's like, fuck that. These are my cash cows. Keeping them together. So, but because of their like conjoinedness, they survived for many years and they could move really gracefully and they could lead a life that was biologically independent of each other.
So question about that. So do they each control like a side of the body?
They have a whole body each.
But they're attached to the, so does one
they're
control,
just attached kind of like at the hip and ass.
But I'm just saying, could, you know, Violet make the her sister's leg move?
There is some, we're gonna, I have a funny F. Scott Fitzgerald story about how they shared. Because it's weird. Because well, they like, shouldn't physically be able to like share each other, but they do.
The Galleon twins, they had to coordinate the way they walk because they both could kind of control each other's legs. So it was very difficult. And there's a video of them trying to get into a pool. And I mean, it takes like 10 minutes for them just to go down the stairs.
I've come up with a good reel idea. You should do that video of them trying to get up to the twins and then just put the cramps. The way I walk is just the way I walk. Over it.
So crass.
There we go. Together, the twins weigh 166 pounds or like 83 pounds each. So they're dinky little girls and they stand at 4'11". So they're also dwarves.
They're tiny.
Teeny tiny. By the age of 23, Mary had died. So they sued Mary's like kids who they went into like a trustee for. They get a huge amount of cash. We're talking millions in today's money. And under the guidance of Houdini, who's going to watch over them their whole lives, they kind of blew all this money because they knew nothing about the real world outside of vaudeville.
What'd they blow the money on?
Fucking everything, man.
They live in a mansion?
They moved into a small apartment on Burr Road in San Antonio. They had a little Pekingese dog that was called Boy. And they partied. They smoked. They drank. They started discovering the opposite sex. They also purchased an apartment in New York because why fucking not? A millionaires.
God, I love how they just became hoes.
They did.
In their later life. So they must have been fucking.
They did start fucking at this point, yeah. And they're sexy. Because the thing about Violet and Daisy is they're both good looking. Especially for like 1930s chicks, you know, they once they start going out into different fashions, like, you know, they're pin setting their hair, wearing like fake eyelashes, big lip. They're hot. Wow. They're not like ugly twins. I think that's why everyone likes Daisy and Violet, because they're not unpleasing on the eye.
And they both have separate vaginas, right?
Yeah. They're just two bodies fused at the ass.
So technically, you could have a sexual relationship with one, but not the other.
Yes. It would be easier, I think, with these.
Yeah, but why not double dip?
They're sisters. They're doing it for themselves. And they hit the scene with the Hilton Sisters Review. And at this point, they're differentiating themselves from each other because they've spent their whole life being dressed like identical dolls. Daisy dyes her hair and they both start wearing clothes that don't match. They splurge on all the newest fashions. Like I said, they started smoking, they're drinking, they're partying the nights away. Funny thing is, they have totally different political views. Very.
One's a Democrat, one's a Republican.
Yeah, Violet was a Democrat and Daisy supported the Republican Party.
God, that'd be so difficult today.
Yeah, I know it would. So during this time, they acquire U.S. residency, and this is when they appeared in the film Freaks by Todd Browning.
Okay. All right. All right. Now I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So the freaks kind of also resented the sisters because the sisters are super famous and they're also not as freakish as the rest. And the girls, they're like, we're not freaks, okay? We're going to go and sit in the MGM lunchroom because we're not sitting at the table with the freaks outside.
So they weren't one of us.
They're not one of them. One of them. And obviously they're sitting in the MGM lunchroom and it's at this point that they're going to run into some famous people. So I absolutely cannot stand F. Scott Fitzgerald. I think he's a fucking abhorrent cunt. I love his wife Zelda though, and I'm gonna do a show on Zelda one day.
Do you think F. Scott got some?
Well, he was a sexual man. He definitely liked shag. But this is a story that kind of makes me like F. Scott, and maybe I could have gotten on with him a bit, because he walks into the lunchroom one day, and the sisters are in there, and the sisters are like, you know, just hanging out. And they're reading the lunch menu. And F. Scott describes it as one of the sisters is reading the lunch menu and the other sister was sat next to her, sat bolt upright, and her eyes were darting back and forth like she was reading the menu as well. And he just said he was so nauseated and felt so disgusted at the sight of them he left. And he was like, fuck this.
That's bizarre, actually, because they don't share a brain.
But I think because they're so intrinsically linked and psychologically linked together, they have that weird connection.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But that would just be a horrible sight to see. And I also would have been like, fuck this. It was like that day when they brought the downers into my school and one of them like grotched all over the flapjack. It's like a thing you never forget.
I actually would have no problem hanging out with these two sisters.
Because they're partiers.
Yeah.
I
would have enjoyed hanging out with them.
So Freaks is famously banned, but the sisters are still super popular in Britain and the US. They party like rock stars. They wallow in excess. And they're more than making up because they'd spent 20 years in isolation. So they're just like getting to know everyone, throwing all these shindigs at their own cost as well.
They need to overcompensate here. If these twins were alive today, they would have an OnlyFans.
Fuck yeah, they would. Daisy's the first to take a lover. So how does that work when your sister is always along going for the literal ride? Violet later said that when her sister was being amorous with her boyfriend, she'd simply turn over, read a book, and eat an apple.
So that's kind of like similar to listening to a true crime podcast.
Yeah,
I wonder how effective that is, though.
I don't know. In 1934, it was Violet who wanted to make an honest woman of herself. Her boyfriend was musician Maurice Lambert, and the two were more than happy about getting married. So Violet, Daisy, and Maurice, they went from state to state. They were trying to obtain a license to get married, but their applications were refused on every state on the grounds that such a marriage would constitute bigamy. Because it is bigamy.
Oh, because he's marrying two women. So, yeah. And you can't be married to two people.
Yeah. So all the stress eventually causes them to break up over it. But on July the 18th, 1906, one of their many managers, they had a succession of awful people who were managers, came up with the plan of staging a wedding at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. So tickets to the wedding were sold for 25 cents each, which is about $5 a day. So they're raking it in. And Violet weds James Moore, who's a longtime friend and a fellow performer. So Alice Simmons reported in her newspaper at the time that it was love at first sight. And most agree that the wedding was totally a publicity stunt.
Well, they were
it wasn't
trying,
love at first sight.
Yeah, I think they're just, it's almost like a marketing ploy. They're just making money.
I actually found the newspaper from their wedding. So the headline was Siamese Twins Wed Musician. And it was captioned Wedding Scene at Dallas. And it reads, Honeymoon for Free might well be the theme song of this unusual wedding at the Texas Centennial Exposition's Cotton Bowl in Dallas. During the ceremony, pictured here, Violet Hilton, a brunette Siamese twin sister, became the wife of Jimmy Moore, a musician and dander with the Hilton Sisters nightclub troupe. Sister Daisy, who has been joined with Violet since birth, assured spectators that marriage will cause no rift between us.
So do you think he consummated the marriage that night?
There are two reasons that this marriage was fakes. Okay, so obviously the fruple are charging people to come and see it. The groom is an absolute flaming homosexual. I mean, the fact that he's they call him a dander in the nightclub troupe, and his name is Maurice, I think is enough clues.
What was his talent?
He was like a dancer and in the troupe.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, that's all the clues you need. The event was super successful for them, though. It took 20 minutes to get down the receiving line. So if you were there at the event, you know, they're all the way down there. And Daisy was actually visibly pregnant at the time of this.
Oh, so he knocked her. Did Maurice knock her up?
No. The father of the child was rumored to be a married musician in their troupe. She delivers a baby boy who's given up for adoption because they did not believe that a baby is going to fit in with their lifestyle and career. That's kind of tenuous, though. A lot of people say that's fakes. But when you look at the picture, she's pregnant.
Okay, but let's say she gave birth to a conjoined twin.
Twin. Oh, my God.
That would have definitely fit into their lifestyle.
Oh, yeah. Then they would have, I think, exploited that for real.
Oh, my God. Think how much money they would have made off of that.
The marriage lasts 5 days, and Violet and the fairy eventually have the marriage annulled 10 years later. So they continue on with their career in entertainment. Violet and Daisy were forced to adapt because the showbiz is, like, changing. Vaudeville's fading. But burlesque shows were taking over. So they come up with a new act, and it involves playing ukuleles, singing harmonies, and partially stripping.
I would have paid to see that.
I fucking would have paid to see this.
I would pay to see that now.
Well, it didn't prove very popular. It's Jumbos. They would have been like the hit at Jumbos.
They would be a hit at a lot of different strip clubs.
Now to see Daisy's. She's like, I want to get married. And because she, like, you know, twins are known to copy each other, her groom, her husband, musician, and dancer, Harold Estep, the marriage lasts 10 days before it's over with and annulled because, as you can imagine, when your husband is a musician and a dancer, what is he? He's a flaming homosexual.
What's their deal? Why are they fag chasers?
I don't know. Fag chasers.
No, wait, what's the term?
A fag hag.
Yeah, why are they fag hags?
I don't know. Maybe it's just because back then it's like there's no fret.
Well, you know, also, it's probably the only people they come in regular contact with.
Yeah.
Part of their show. Vaudeville. Their friends. Yeah, it's vaudeville. It makes sense.
The sisters both claimed they were not bothered by each other's love affairs. So Houdini, who was like their lifelong mentor, he actually taught them to retract into what he called their own private mental space where they could get rid of each other when need be. They also installed a special phone booth where they could call their flings and exchange sweet nothings as the other sat on the other side and was either reading or just painting her own nails.
How did they sit in it?
Well, because they're, like, attached at the ass, like, at the hips.
So was there a wall that just had the open section for their hips?
Probably, yeah. Like, they could definitely move around. In 1952, they star in the movie Chained for Life, which is autobiographically inspired. The movie is a crime of passion plot where one of the sisters kills her husband and the courts are faced with the dilemma of convicting a woman who he's going to take her innocent sister to jail over. This movie is so bad, it's great. I've only seen it once. I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube.
I haven't even heard of it.
It's a freak show. It's great. In 1955, they open a hot dog stand in Miami. And it's kind of successful until other hot dog stand owners are like complaining about the freaks selling their dogs. What would you call it if you were a conjoined twin and you were selling hot dogs?
Double dog?
Double dog. Double dog down. Come on down to double dog down. The Hiltons' last public appearance was at a drive-in movie theater in Charlotte, North Carolina in 1962, but their tour manager abandons them there because the tour was failing and he was so tired of losing money. So he left them without any money or transportation. And so the twins are like, fuck it, I guess we're just going to live in Charlotte.
So they just stayed there?
Had
they already squandered their fortune at this point?
Oh, fuck yeah. They'd lost like, they got like 100,000, which is over $1 million in today's money in the settlement. And they blew that within a year. Like, good for them. They get a job at the parking shop. And this is where they promote twin pack potato chips. And they remained in the grocery store as cashiers. And the manager really took to them. And he builds them a specially built counter that they can work behind.
That's cool.
They sit at the counter and they work, and most customers had no idea that the two sisters were joined at the hip. They were just like, they work.
They
close.
Probably can see, especially if they're sitting down.
This like kind of anonymity, though, it afforded them like a slice of normalcy that they'd never had in their entire fucking lives. They work here for 7 years, and during that time, they rent a small two-bedroom home on the corner of Wayland and Greenland Avenue. I mentioned this because that house is still there, as is the parking shop. So if you're in North Carolina, in Charlotte, go and get some pictures for us. they made friends with workmates and they kind of would tell stories of their former showbiz lives. And they settled into like a kind of life of solitude and they would only leave home for work off a church.
They never remarried?
No. But imagine they probably did take lovers. I think they were very sexy girls. In 1968, the Hong Kong flu was sweeping America. Daisy caught it in late December, but she didn't go to the doctors. On January the 4th, 1969, they failed to show up for work at the store. And after repeated attempts to reach them, police forced their way into their home. Inside, they found the twins. They were huddled near a furnace vent that they had crawled to in an effort to keep warm. Daisy had succumbed to the flu epidemic first, and it was later determined that Violet had survived for another 4 days lying next to her dead twin before she passed away. Violet didn't call for any help in those days, though. She could have.
Well, she probably didn't want to continue living.
Yeah. They were nearly 60 years old, and they left the world as all the other twins are going to leave it. They left it together. They left behind a small sum of $1,500. An intensive search for any surviving relatives failed to turn up any. And they're buried in Forest Lawn West Cemetery in Charlotte, North Carolina, in an actually donated plot. And they share it with a Vietnam veteran, Troy Thompson, who had died in 65.
So I wonder if they got like a specially made like custom coffin.
They did. On their grave as well, it says Daisy and Violet Hilton, and it just marks 1908 to 1969, beloved Siamese twins. There were 23 floral tributes at the funeral, but none from the world of showbiz. They'd been forgotten. So at the funeral service, the Reverend John Stills said, as he stood next to the super fucking wide coffin, Daisy and Violet Hilton were in show business for all but the last half dozen years of their life. In the end, though, they were cast aside by the glittery and glamorous world that they had been part of for so long. In the end, it was only the ordinary people who showed that they cared about them. Because they're the ones who paid for their double white coffee. But they live on in popular culture. So in Brighton, the mayor has named a bus after them. And there's a plaque on their birth home with their names on. There's also been two musicals based on the twins' lives. So in 1989, there was a 20 Fingers, 20 Toes, which is terrifying. And 1997's at Sideshow. And in 2012, Leslie Zemeckis made a documentary about the twins called Bound by Flesh, which a Hollywood reporter said was a masterful film, which I have not seen. So I can't attest to that.
I'll have to check that out. Well, so the last duo that we're going to discuss here are the world's oldest living conjoined twins. So the oldest living conjoined twins. Lori and George, formerly named Dory, so Lori and Dory Chappelle from Pennsylvania, were born on the 18th of September, 1961, and they're currently 62 years old.
Okay.
They are craniopagus twins, which means they have a partially fused skull.
Oh, the worst.
They share vital blood vessels and 30% of their brain, the frontal lobe and the parietal lobe, are shared. This is the rarest form of conjoined twinning, representing only like 2% of the cases.
Yeah.
So Lori is able-bodied, but George is spina bifida and can't walk. So to move around, he has to sit in a wheelchair-type stool, which his sister pushes.
I've seen pictures of these two, and this is what I mean when there's one twin who's like, could have made it, but is now burdened for life with... Do you think if like reincarnation...
They could never be separated.
Do you think if reincarnation is real though, like just say reincarnation was real, that in his past life, he was an absolute evil cunt. Like maybe he was Hitler level cunt and now in his next life, he is atoning for his sins because he has to push around this like abnormal amount of cells on a wheelchair that is his brother on his head.
Well, I disagree actually. They're both very deformed looking.
I know they both
are. One is wheelchair bound because she has spinal bifida, but they're both monstrous creatures fused at the face. I mean, they do look like a Cronenberg monstrosity.
The brood, for sure.
I don't really believe in reincarnation, but...
No, I was just saying, like, humble me for a minute. Imagine if it was real and this is what you would get instead of coming back as a beetle or something.
Comeuppance, but... But yeah, they both are monstrous looking creatures. There's nothing attractive about either one of them. So Lori and George became the first same-sex conjoined twins to identify as different genders. When in 2007, George, formerly Dory, revealed himself to be transgender. He has not had any surgery, but he dresses and identifies himself as a man. So prior to that, George went by the name Reba, inspired by his singer Reba McEntire. And he disliked that his name, Dory, rhymed with his sister's name, Lori.
I would also hate that. This is the thing about twins when they're like, we'll make you do everything the same. You know, you're going to have matching names and you're going to wear matching outfits.
Well, I think that's kind of the, yeah, I mean, I think it's a cop-out for parents. The twins spent the first 24 years of their lives in an institution for the mentally disabled.
Holy shit, really?
Even though both of them were not intellectually impaired at all, but they were there because the court placed them, because the parents couldn't properly care for them.
That makes sense, though. It must be so expensive, like that upkeep.
Yeah, and I mean, especially with this type of twinning, I mean, their faces refuse. So it's like, could you imagine? You'd have to, it would be a very difficult situation.
Yeah, just.
Like you'd have to have like a special bed. It's kind of like the Galleons had to have the brother made a special bed for them.
Yeah.
Because before that, they would just kind of sleep on top of each other.
Oh my God.
So Lori and George weren't completely cut off from their parents, who let them know that it was God who purposely made them this way. Now, if that wouldn't make you an atheist, I don't know what would.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why the twins never lamented their condition or expressed any desire to be separated. And they say, would we be separated? Absolutely not, George said in a 1997 documentary. My theory is, why fix what is not broken?
I think that's something really broken.
Yeah, I think we have a differing definition of what broken means.
Wow.
So since 1988, they lived by themselves in a two-bedroom apartment, each having their own room, alternating the nights that they sleep in each one.
Okay, that's sweet.
George saw success in the 90s as a professional country singer, performing all around the world. And Lori is a trophy-winning 10-pin bowler. And, she's worked at a hospital laundry for several years, arranging her work schedule around George's country gigs.
Okay. I like how proactive they are. Like, we're going to work. I'm a bowler. You're a singer. I like all this.
Well, that's the thing. They want to do as much individually as possible, including showering. So they don't always shower at the same time. In fact, hardly ever, Lori revealed. They manage this by using a shower curtain as a barrier between themselves. So while one showers, the other just kind of stands outside the bath.
Wouldn't you just shower at the same time?
You would think it would just be easier.
Easier. Like, just shower at the same time, and then you've showered. Otherwise, it's going to be like, what, every day? Like, just get over it.
They practice separate hobbies in their respective rooms, with one of them, quote-unquote, zoning out while in the other's room.
Yeah.
So she said, you know, Lori said, this is her room. I'm here in body, but that's it. Just because we cannot get up and walk away from each other doesn't mean we cannot have solitude from other people or ourselves. And they take a similar attitude towards romance.
Oh, God.
So Lori says, when I went on dates, George would bring along books to read. And as we don't face each other, because they face in different directions, he could ignore any kissing. Lori also said she lost her virginity to her second boyfriend when she was 23. And during sex, George said he's able to act like I'm not even there.
Oh, my God.
So if you think about it, she's laying on her back. George's face is pushed into the pillow while she's getting hammered.
Or maybe they would have to do it from the side, like crabs.
Or I guess maybe bent over. But still, what do you do with the other twin? It amazes me that someone can maintain an erection while fucking something like this.
Of course, it's men. Men will stick their dicks into a fucking bag of rubbish.
I couldn't do it. Looking at this like face of this deformed twin staring back at me while I'm fucking it from behind.
But imagine if you're like, this is the best I can ever get. Oh, well, then you would get a hard dick because you'd be like, I might never get puss-puss again. So I'll just do it.
Well, currently, both twins are single. And in the past, Lori said that she has wanted to have children, but the dream never really came true.
Oh.
She's had several boyfriends, though.
Is she horny?
She likes to fuck. Yeah, she's horny. She had several boyfriends throughout her life and was even engaged, but her fiancé was tragically killed by a drunk driver.
Oh, my God. That's sad.
So they're both in their 60s now. They've surpassed any expectation of doctors who didn't think the pair would even live beyond 30. And they're the oldest female conjoined twins ever, and currently the oldest living conjoined twins.
So because they share a brain, they must share all the same sensations, though. So they haven't answered the question about, so when you're being fucked and you're coming, your twin feels it. There's no doubt.
There's no way that 30% of brain function is shared.
Yeah.
So they have to feel it. Same pleasure receptors.
Yeah.
So they would have to.
Weird.
It is weird. I mean, I guess maybe you could kind of tune it out.
You can't tune out.
You're not looking at it, but there's no way. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd just be like, oh.
So if they live 6 more years, though, they'll become the oldest conjoined twins ever. Because Ronnie and Donnie died at age 68. So if they just live 6 more years, they'll be 69.
And they'd also be the weirdest ones as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to end the show with one of George's songs when she was named Reba. So, you know, it is interesting to think that the, you know, sideshows are still around today in the form of like TLC reality shows and reels on the Sick and Wrong Instagram page. but there's really not much of a difference, though, between these live sideshows and these modern reality shows.
Of course not.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing, though, without the guilt. Because before, you would have to go there and you would gawk and stare at someone in front of you. But stare at a living creature in front of you.
But where's the guilt, though? Because you're giving them money, whereas now it's we expect it for free. So yeah, was it not better back then when they were earning a living wage?
No, I think it was more cruel for people to gawk at them openly, and actually you're staring at a human. So I think people did probably feel remorse about that. But now, what guilt are you going to have when you're just watching, you know, Little People, Big World, or My 600-Pound Life on your TV and laughing?
Yeah, true.
You know, while you're getting stoned. But the format's changed, but people have never lost interest in looking at into the lives of people with different types of bodies.
Never will.
You know, and that's evidenced by, you know, Abby and Brittany making the announcement that she got married 3 years ago, because everybody online was like, so how does this work? How do you fuck? Everybody was questioning this. You know, Ronnie and Donnie were actually on a 1997 episode of Springer.
Oh, yeah. That's probably maybe where I like subconsciously know them from. I definitely know them from just rocking around.
Well, George and Lori were also on Springer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, conjoined twins occur once in every 200,000 live births, and the survival rate is only between 5 and 25%.
Shit, that's really low.
Yeah. It's weird because they form when the developing embryo starts to split in two. But the process never completes.
Yeah, I like it. It's like, it just craps out. It's like, we could, but we're too lazy. Well,
I mean, they have to be delivered by C-section.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Because I imagine that's got to
be
difficult.
So when you think Chang and Aang were born and like Violet and Daisy were born, like, oh God, those vaginas that they came out of must have been like, 9/11 aftermath.
Anyway, I'm just hoping that Abby and Brittany start up an OnlyFans. And if you need help, if you listen to this show and you need help, just email sickandwrongpodcast@gmail.com. people, this is episode 940. We got some phone calls to get to. 323-522-4032 is that number. But first, here's a quick message from Adam and Eve.
Hey, guys. It's me, Steven. I'm a huge fan of your show. Thanks to your awesome coupon code, Diddle, I can buy myself loads of good sex toys. Since both of my wives died, and my Lou Gehrig's disease got pretty bad, let's just say things in the bedroom got pretty boring. But thanks to AdamandEve.com and coupon code, Diddle, D-I-D-D-L-E. I am now a new man. Thanks.
You're charging now a victory. And now you're full of energy.
So, Kate, we got a couple calls to get to here. Actually, three. A lot of people have been calling the Sick and Wrong hotline. We do appreciate that. 323-522-4032 is the number. Or just email us an MP3, sickandwrongpodcast@gmail.com. We do want to hear from you. So this first call is somebody who's expressing a little bit of outrage on our April Fool's Day joke.
Oh, amazing.
There were a lot of upset men.
Oh, yeah, we haven't. Can I say the April Fool's Day joke was my idea because I wanted to upset the men, and it worked fantastically. So thank you to all the men who got really upset.
A lot of people were very upset about this. And it was just funny because a lot of people just listened to the beginning of the episode and not the end. And so up until the very end, I mean, it sounded legitimate.
Yeah.
And so then, so I had all these people being like, is it true? Is this really happening?
It's the happiest I've been in like 10. He left 10 years ago. Get over it.
And then at the end, when it was like April Fool's, people were so upset. They were crushed. Whatever. Yeah. We haven't done a good April Fool's Day joke in a long time. You got to admit, I gotcha. Gotcha on that one. So anyway, this guy calls in with discussing his discontent.
D, you fucking cockies. How dare you lie to us and tell us that Kate Rambeau has an OnlyFans featuring his feet. I went there, I created a fucking account, and I can't find her anywhere. What a fucking prick. Anyway, lick my balls.
This guy immediately went on the internet to look at pictures of your feet.
Yeah, I do just give it away all for free on Instagram, and we'll continue to give it all away for free on Instagram. So just follow my Instagram.
You know this guy would fuck a conjoined twin.
Are you saying that I'm like a conjoined twin?
I'm just
twin?
Saying, if he jumped on fucking OnlyFans that quickly to look up pictures of your feet, this guy would fuck a conjoined twin.
Maybe he wants to see more than my feet, but that would never happen. I'm too Victorian to ever show it all people.
You know what's funny is, so in the episode last week, I was saying how, you know, Wackley's going to have to do more because now, you know, now we have a Patreon and everything. I was like, hey, Kate Rambeau's an OnlyFans page. You're probably going to have to get an OnlyFans page. And so I just said that and people were emailing all these ideas. Like this one guy was like, oh. I had so many ideas of what Wackley could do on OnlyFans.
The men's. Like,
and then you just ruined it with an April Fool's Day joke. Fuck you, D. I'm like, okay, how big was your boner when you were thinking about Wackley's OnlyFans page?
Yeah.
That's my question.
What the whack?
Well, thank you there, sir. And keep wishing. Maybe one day Kate will start up an OnlyFans.
Maybe I will. And like, you know what? Maybe I will. And I'll just release all the pictures I don't put on Instagram.
Next call we have here is from a longtime listener, first time caller.
Hey, Sick and Too Wong Fu. I've been listening since the beginning. First time calling. Shame. Of course, I'm drunk in good fashion. I'm drunk on Rumplements like a true degenerate. First off, Kate is so hot. I'm jealous she won you over. She won your Jewish testicles. Does she keep them in a little vintage purse? I hope so.
I do.
She does, actually.
I do.
Very, a very cool vintage purse.
Thank you. Yeah.
I hope she shares those little Jewish testes with me. So I got so excited when I thought Wackerly was returning because the three of you are so fucking hilarious. I have to tell a story, old times. Back in the beginning of Sick and Wrong, you guys used to ask your fans to send in titty pics, and I did gracefully what I was told. Barely legal, first tit pics I ever shared. You even talked about my pink nipples on the show one time. The highlight of my 18-year-old life. Anyway,
I kind of remember this. We...
This chick is awesome.
Yeah, I don't know what inspired that. I think one girl sent us pictures of her tits. And we're like...
Oh, what inspired you and Wackley? Well, Wackley, who was a virgin till he was 25. What inspired you to get tit pics off girls?
No, I'm just saying...
Is it because you've got a cock by any chance?
When we started the show, I don't think our goal was to be like, we're going to get tit pics. But I think a girl sent us tit pics. And we're like, yeah, if any other girls want to, like, you know... Follow the bandwagon here and send us tit pics. You're more than welcome to. And so quite a few did, actually.
Oh, this chick is great. I love her.
I finally started sending you a money a few years back and don't even have time to listen to the show anymore. But I'm fine. You can mooch off me. I mooched off you for years. So it's cool. It's fine.
Oh, thank
it's
you
fair.
For that.
She's awesome.
We pay it forward. Speaking of which, have you watched that movie recently? I go to my hairdresser now and I ask for the Helen Hunt hair in Pay It Forward. I want to look like a recovering alcoholic. who fucks a burn victim and has a son who wears JNCO jeans. And my hairstylist usually says, get the fuck out of my shop. But that's neither here nor there. Anyways, love.
I don't know this movie.
I want to see this movie now just because of her description of this movie.
I kind of, you know what I kind of like? I like the look of Patricia Arquette in Escape from Dannemora.
I like that look too. That's a maybe, good look. You know, maybe, D, as once I've gone through menopause, that could be my look.
I could see that.
Although
working.
My plan after menopause, this is my plan. Like, you know, hopefully I shall live long enough to see this plan through. When I turn like 60, everyone has to start calling me Kitty. That's it now.
I do like that name, Kitty.
Yeah, and I'm going to have really long old Victorian woman hair, and I'm just going to dress like I'm in an old Western.
I like this because I'll be an older man too, and I'll be like, hey, Kitty, can I have some bitty?
See? And it'll work, and I'll be like, no, you shan't. And then I'll put your testicles back in my little vintage purse that I have.
The show for more than half my life, and I hope it continues on for however long my liver clings to it. So probably like 2 more years until I die. So if you could just do 2 more years, that would be great. Anyways, I love you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful Zombie Jesus Day.
Well, thank you, and a happy Zombie Jesus Day to you, too.
I love this chick, and I think I know who she is on Facebook, and I'm totally going to add her as a friend.
I don't know if I can promise 2 more years, but I'm going to do my best for your liver.
What was it? Episode 1000 we've been teasing.
I'm talking episode 999.
No.
That's what I'm going to do.
I would punch you in the face.
999, but that's still like a year and a half away.
You know what's funny about her? She says, me, you, and Wackley have good banter. What's really funny is Wackley is also a Pisces, and me and Wackley have a lot of similar opinions, shall we say. He's funnier than me in a different way. He's very sardonic. But I feel that me and Wackley could go on holiday together, and we would want to do the exact same things and see everything the same way.
You both complain in equal measures.
Yes.
Put it that way.
But over different things.
You both complain in equal measures about different things, but you both complain at the same level. Thanks for calling in, and thank you for supporting us all this time. We do appreciate
She's a sweetheart.
Always love to hear from people, especially people who have been sending titty pics to us. Like, we want that. We want more of that. This next caller, I don't want your titty pics. I just want to say this. I do not want your titty pics, Buffalo Bill.
Because
he'll send them, you know.
This is Buffalo Bill. Calling in with a question. Fuck it. Ask Kate, but D as well. But
you know, he really does sound like Buffalo Bill in this.
He said he was just getting over like the fifth time he had the COVID.
Well, maybe that's an odd fuck me.
I feel like D would be less inclined to do the activity. So ask Kate. And D, if he just doesn't berate me for it. Oh my god. Apologies, I'm coming into the drunk vow, I'm drunk.
As one does.
Fuck.
I might have to skip ahead here till he gets to the point.
No, I'm just remembering that time that he showered at his friend's house.
So
his god, blow buddy?
Horrible, I'm so sorry. Karaoke. Do either of y'all have a go-to karaoke song?
Fuck yes.
For me, it's when I usually get there, it's I like to start out with something like Black Sabbath.
Oh.
But then,
that would
as soon
be tough.
As I get a little too drunk, I know who I am, and this is severely embarrassing. God. I kind of murder Fergalicious.
Fergalicious?
Wait, Fergalicious.
Is that by
Black Eyed Peas?
It must be. I don't know it. Maybe I know it to hear it, but I wouldn't know it off like the top of my head.
Fergalicious.
It's safe. It's a go-to. I do it real well. I have a lot of fun with it.
Good.
If y'all haven't listened to The Duchess, it's an incredible pop album, if you're into pop. Usually not, but it's one that hits a spot for me. Anyway, yeah, what's y'all's go-to karaoke? Okay. Night.
Fergalicious, huh? This is it. I don't know this song.
Okay, play a little Fergalicious. Buffalo Bill is just like.
Just from my boat, so you can see me, you can't squeeze me. I ain't easy, I ain't sleazy. I got reasons why I tease, and boys just come and go like seasons. Fergalicious,
so delicious.
But I ain't promiscuous, and if you were suspicious, all that shit is fictitious. I blow kisses.
You know, Buffalo Bill, send us a video of this performance.
I can see him doing this and doing it very well. That's the entire point of karaoke, like what you said. You have to own it and you have to do it fantastically. Like, I hate the people who are like trying to match it and sing really well. That's not the point of karaoke.
Yeah, that isn't the point. The point is for you to interpret it in your own fashion. So what's your go-to?
My go-tos are always like quite similar ones. I always like doing Nancy Sinatra, Boots Are Made for Walking, because you can also own that song. But I do like a hype to a like Victorian woman.
So many girls do that song, though.
I know, but I don't just do it where I'm like trying to be like Nancy and try to be sexy. I do it like where I'm having a nervous breakdown.
What, so you're having a seizure on stage?
Just like, these boots are made for walking. That's what they're going to do. I do it like that. And
really
then
excited.
Son of a Preacher Man, because that song actually applies to me. Because I did marry the son of a preacher man.
Yeah, that does hit close to home.
Dusty was a gay icon and I love her. And then if I have to do a show tune, it's always Cool Rider from Grease 2. If you really want to know what I want in a guy. And I do it like angry.
I always like doing Bohemian Rhapsody.
No. If I write, I do have a no karaoke rule, which is you shouldn't do a ballad. But if I am ever to do a ballad, the only one I will ever do is November Rain.
Oh, God. That's as bad as Bohemian Rhapsody.
Everyone gets into November Rain. It's better than Bohemian Rhapsody because it's not as done. People are a bit like, oh, my God, somebody's doing November Rain, and then it's me.
There's certain songs that should be banned. Bohemian Rhapsody should be banned.
Lynyrd Skynyrd, banned.
Stairway to Heaven.
Heaven, banned.
Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah, but
Sweet Caroline.
It's Sweet Caroline, definitely. All of those. Yeah, but although you do a very good Neil Diamond.
Well, that's the thing. My go-to is Forever in Blue Jeans by Neil Diamond.
I think you've replaced that now, though, because your Lita Ford is really good.
That's been a newer song for me to do, is Kiss Me Deadly.
But you're really good. You do a lot
Lita
of
Ford.
Gesticulating with your hands. You do
rock
a lot
point.
Of gesturing.
I do a rock point. It's a rock point.
At the end of every line. Kiss me once. Kiss me twice.
Yeah, that's kind of my new go-to is Kiss Me Deadly.
One of my exes, Ringo, his karaoke song, and he owned it. He was great at it. Was No Scrubs by TLC.
Ooh, that's a good one.
He was really funny.
I bet you Buffalo Bill can do that.
I think Buffalo Bill could totally do TLC No Scrubs.
Wow.
And own it.
Anyway, there you go, Buffalo Bill. Maybe one day if we ever make it to Texas.
Yeah,
we'll
please,
do karaoke.
Over people ringing about your karaoke songs, because I always love knowing. I think there are two people in this world. There's definitely people who won't ever do karaoke. I just kind of think whatever. But everyone's always been like, no, that's the song I'll do. That's my song. No one else can touch it.
I think one of my favorite karaoke experiences of all time was when this wasn't even that long ago. It was your first time in San Francisco, and we were at this amazing Chinese bar called Bao Bao.
This is the first proper time that I met JoJo.
Yeah, it's like, so Bao Bao is this old, like, kind of Chinese dive bar where they have their own karaoke in the back. And the woman that leads it is like, or the bartender, the owner of the bar, is like kind of a karaoke wizard. Like, she's got
amazing.
A great voice.
Yeah.
And she just kind of runs the karaoke. So anyway, when we get there, there's all these like Chinese karaoke songs, like in Chinese. And JoJo comes
walks
and meets
right
us
in.
At the bar, walks right in, grabs the microphone because no one was singing, and just starts singing like Wang Gong Chai, like,
she
whatever
was
the song.
It.
And she was loving it. She was just like, oh yeah, he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
Like, it was amazing.
He I'm wasn't like, even drunk. Well, maybe he was half cut.
I think he was like, yeah, half cut. I don't think he'd been drinking yet because we did end up getting really drunk.
Oh yeah. And then there was that guy who came on to JoJo, and that's the night I got really wasted.
Oh yeah, God.
It was so much fun.
But it was really funny. Like, without even like missing a beat, just straight into Chinese karaoke.
It was so good.
It was great. People call the Sick Around Hotline, 323-522-4032. Once again, big ups to all the listeners who support us on Patreon and Apple Podcasts. We do appreciate you helping us keep it sick and wrong every week. Patreon.com/sickandwrong. And also, if you want to buy some merch, head on over to the T Public Store, sickandwrongpodcast.com/shop. Click on the picture of the Pope. I think I mentioned this last week, but I'll mention it again. We are soliciting designs from the audience because apparently I'm now like part of the Prime Partner program over at TeePublic. So we have to upload like 6 designs a year. So what I was asking the audience to do is send me some concepts. And we discussed these on the second show this week. And I'm going to email them to my contact, the account rep, and just to get her feedback.
Yeah, it's in the works.
I wonder if she seems so young. I doubt she even knows what goatsy is.
Well, we're not even going to say the term goatsy. We have to try and make them seem as innocent as possible. So she'll relent and make one.
I think she's about to be traumatized. So send in your design, sigrongpodcast@gmail.com. And finally here, Sigrong Song of the Week. This might be my new go-to karaoke song. Fear of Being Alone by Reba Chappelle, who is George from Pennsylvania that we were talking about, formerly Dory. When she was a she, now he's a he. So George used to tour doing covers of Reba McEntire songs. Reba. And other country songs as well. But he does Fear of Being Alone here by Reba McEntire, but he does it as Reba Chappelle.
Right.
So we're going to end the show here with Fear of Being Alone, performed by Reba Chappelle. And you got to check out this video.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I'm going to make a reel out of it, actually. Anyway, people will be back next week with episode 941. Till then, take it sleazy.
I'm running.
And I am the oldest living Siamese twins in America.
And also the world.
Ronnie is very, very, very happy-go-lucky. Versus Donnie is just as serious and hardcore as it gets. They're total opposites. They're one person and one body, but they're total opposites on that.